Well, hello everybody and welcome to this week's NPL show, the official radio show dedicated to the Northern Premier League. I'm Ben, and down the other end of the phone, it's Mr. Thomas Feeney from the other side of the Pennines. Hello Tom, how are you?
Hello, I'm not too bad at all. Obviously, we've got quite a bit to talk about.
We have got quite a bit to talk about. Now, we should say we have got Mark Harris, chairman of the Northern Premier League, joining us shortly. Now, at time of recording, we've not done that interview yet, so I can't tell you his thoughts on the subjects we're about to discuss. But we've got Thomas on to... Thomas has got a horse in a race in the division above. Step two in the National League North. It'd be good to get his viewpoint on things. So thank you, Thomas, for joining us. Now, everyone knows on Thursday the breaking news. The FA has made a judgment, and we discussed in great detail last week with Andrew Simpson just what the FA and the governing bodies could do with the various leagues. I mean, Thomas, it was clear that something had to be done. It's not like Liverpool in the Premier Division where you could just knock it back a few months while we wait for this health crisis to pass us all by, hopefully. Non-league basically finishes in the early part of May, so a decision had to be made. But what's your viewpoint on nulling and voiding the whole season, essentially, which is what has happened for clubs at step three and below?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, there had to be a decision made, and that was the key thing. You know, you look at the contract situation for, well, pretty much every non-league club in a few weeks' time, contracts run out, and there is a massive void, a massive hole in what would actually happen regarding that. Now, the way that it's been done in terms of step three to six, just one blanket verdict, in terms of, first of all, the way that the FA had made that decision regarding whether games would go on a few weeks ago, and obviously it was basically each league was told, right, well, it's your decision, hence why the National League went, right, well, we're going to play. One or two other leagues said, yeah, we'll play, while everyone else said there'll be no games. And then with this decision, it's taken me by a massive surprise just how quickly, I suppose, the decision actually has come to, because obviously there were meetings that took place on Monday, there were further meetings that took place then over the last couple of days. And whatever the FA did, there was going to be anger, there were going to be teams saying this is not right. I personally did think it would be a points per game basis, and basically the top teams would go up and, well, they'd just say, right, sorry that you made the playoffs, well done for doing that, but that means nothing. But obviously that's not the case, and there's some teams that are not very happy about that, and yet there are teams, I've seen one or two players who maybe were in a position where their teams would be relegated that were kind of breathing a sigh of relief and saying, oh yeah, not a bad decision. So really, you know, it's obviously going to be a mixed opinion, and they're not going to please everyone, but I am surprised with what's happened.
Yes, I mean, we'll come to the anomalies, the ones who stand out a country mile with regards to this decision. There's a few leagues that are a bit more nip and tuck than others, in all fairness. I mean, from a National League perspective, their hands are tied pretty much by the Football League's take on all this, isn't it? I mean, it does filter down because, you know, they want a worthy promotee to go into the Football League. They want someone to come down to replace them. So with that regard, the National League are in a bit of between a rock and a hard place, in all fairness, with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because obviously the meetings took place Monday, and I think that was pretty well known that the meetings were happening. Effectively, the games up till the end of April won't be happening, obviously, you know, with what's happened. But we are in a position where the National League teams want the games to continue at some point. And, you know, like you were saying there, the problem you've got here is the financial implications for a team like Barrow, who are top of the National League right now. If they were to be told, well, that's it, we're sorry, you're staying in the league. Their manager, Ian Evatt, yesterday, you know, did the rounds with the media and basically was saying, look, this can't happen. We would have to appeal. We would have to do something because, you know, you've played over, I think it's over 80% of the season's been played. There's not that long to go. And for a team like Barrow, who are already making plans for being an EFL club, if they were then to be told, no, that's it, you know, it could have massive implications for them. And also for teams like Harrogate Town, who are currently second in the league, you know, teams like Notts County, who are third in the league, there's just a lot of there's a lot of teams in the National League that want the season to continue at some point because of just how much money is on the line for them.
Now, in that regard, obviously it's trending on Twitter as we record this interview, so there has been reaction to this judgment, as you'd come to expect. But my question is, if it's good enough for Vauxhall Motors, it should be good enough for Liverpool, shouldn't it?
Well, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Now, this ruling has been set, and, you know, the team I feel absolutely good for are Jersey Bulls, who are in step 10. They've won every game. They've won 27 games out of 27. Mathematically, they've done it. They've had the perfect season so far. And then they've been told, oh, sorry, in your first season where you've not lost a game, you've not drawn a game, you've won every league game, they're told, oh, sorry, guys, best of luck next time. And, you know, I think that's the thing is, you know, the Premier League seem to be, and the EFL seem to be in an island of themselves. But if you were saying that as a precedent that's been set, then really, you know, the FA should have said, right, well, that's it for everyone. But obviously, the financial implications for the Premier League and for the EFL and for the National League have been deemed to be a separate entity from Step 3 to 6.
We're not privy to how much is being spent by each individual club, but I think it's safe to say South Shields has spent a bit of money this season.
Yeah.
It's small compared to what, I don't know, City would be spending, but it's still it's not an insignificant amount of money that's been spent this year.
No, it definitely isn't. And I think the big thing as well is, you know, if you're a team that are looking to progress, looking to get going, a manager a few years ago told me, you know, if you're looking to basically hit the ground running next season, by mid-February, you want to already be talking, you know, and getting things in place, you know, and if you think you're going to go up, you want to be looking and saying, right, well, you know, we'll budget for this to happen, we'll budget for that to happen. And all of a sudden, to be told with a few days to go before the start of April, well, next season you'll be staying in your league, even though, you know, for some of the teams, mathematically they've done it. For some of the teams, it would take a freak set of results for them not to have gone up. I mean, that's another point, is there'll be some clubs that maybe have agreed contracts with players on the basis, well, we're going to be going up, so we can pay you a little bit more, we can do this, we can do that. And all of a sudden, they're now, I don't know what happens with that even, because, you know, if a player has signed a new contract, I suppose right now the club would have to honour it, but did the club say to the player, can you revert back to your old terms? Does the player say, well, I'm off? But, you know, I mean, it just opens up a massive can of worms. And I think that's the thing is, right now, player contracts haven't actually been put forward as the main subject. And I think in the next few days and weeks, that's when it really will be the main subject, because there's just so many questions to ask for, you know, the entire non-league system, just what is going to happen there.
Oh, that's a good point well made, Thomas. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, well, thank you.
Yeah. I didn't even consider that, the actual, because that's, I'm an artist, you see, dear listener. I don't plan ahead. That level of forward planning, it's there, isn't it? I mean, managers often talk about this. I don't know why I've not even thought about it sooner, because I always ask them this time of year, when do you start planning for next year? They already have, right? Well, there we go. I mean, let's talk about some of the anomalies then. I mean, South Shields, they've got the 12-point lead. As a supporter of the team sitting in second, I don't think they're catchable if the league was to be carried on. But the problem in doing that, though, and saying South Shields, you've got 12 points, off you go to the league above, no questions asked, is what do you do elsewhere? And, you know, we only have to look at the South East Division at Step 4 of the MPL, Leeteown, Town, Stamford. Leeteown Town have got a game in hand, but it's only 2 points. So, I mean, do you give it Leek? There is a problem with, it's like you said, you can't please everyone. There's a problem down every avenue that the FA and the powers that be went down with this.
And I think that's the thing with, you know, that is a great example of it there, is what would you do? Because, you know, you would look at the situation and say, well, do you say, right, well, there's such a small margin, do you, I don't know, say, right, on a head-to-head basis how their results were? Or, I mean, it's just that thing of, they were never going to please everybody, whatever their ruling was. And you know, it's just such a, I mean, it is just such an unprecedented thing. You know, no one at the start of the season would have thought, right, oh, well, you know, we'll play 30 plus games and it'll all be null and void anyway. You know, it's just such a surreal situation where, you know, they're obviously, suppose this week there have been winners and losers. There will be some teams who are breathing a sigh of relief knowing that they'll be staying in their league when it really did look like they wouldn't be. But, you know, it's just that whole thing for the FA. What, one thing I'd, you know, someone had said to me was, you know, would there be a thing of, right, the seasons are done, but maybe the top team gets a head start next season or something. Obviously, that hasn't happened, but I wonder had that even, you know, been talked about with the FA, because to me now it's just that thing of next season, I think there are one or two teams in the divisions where this is a massive sigh of relief for them. They've got away with it, really. And now it's whether or not, you know, because you see it, some teams, they just miss out on relegation one season. The next season, they're right up there because they've kind of gone, right, we've got to change this, this and this. And I wonder whether that will be the case next season. But obviously, you know, I think that's thinking far too far ahead, because there's still going to be a lot to talk about before any action actually gets underway.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're talking about next season like it's going to start in August. We just don't know at this stage, obviously. But the thing we have to remember is, obviously, the backdrop to this is quite extraordinary. It's a difficult minefield that the powers that be are going down. But from a sporting perspective, it's just something that doesn't seem right about doing a season that long, and all the records that players have done, you know, appearance records or goal scoring or all that kind of thing. And it just doesn't feel right that it meant nothing. That's what I think is the trouble with this decision, whether you agree with it or not. But I don't know if there was any way around it or not. I mean, closing thoughts before we get Mark Harris on to see to hear his views on the whole matter. But it's a tricky one, wasn't it, to begin with? And I'm not too sure that we've actually finished yet with this. I don't know what you think. What do you think, Thomas? Just before you go.
Well, I think that's the thing is, you know, the initial reaction. There have been already people saying that they're going to contest it. There have already been people saying they're going to appeal what has happened. And I think this is the thing. This is now just the start. I can't see that this will just now be a case that the FA will go, oh yeah, sorry about that, guys, that'll be it. I think there will be appeals. There will be people contacting the FA. And it's just whether now, you know, what happens. It is going to be completely down to the FA. And they've made the decision. They've announced it, you know, with plenty of time to spare, which I think for some clubs financially will be, it'll save them for some of the teams. But, you know, whatever the FA did, they were always going to be wrong in the eyes of some and right in the eyes of others. They've made the decision. And now I think this is the start of a very long road before that final ratification and the start of the next season gets underway.
Well, interesting times ahead. Thomas, just before you go, it'd be rude of me not to allow you a plug. You've been busy today, tweeting away. So how could people follow your non-league musings?
Yeah, well, in these crazy times, I think I've got a little bit more time to tweet. So if you want to give me a follow, that's at Thomasine. And yeah, it's heavily biased towards Yorkshire, but I'll try and cover the national stuff at the moment.
Thomas Feeney there, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, joining us here on the NPL show. So let's discuss this in a bit more detail now. And joining me now down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by League Chairman of the Northern Premier League. It's a welcome to the show to Mark Harris. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. And obviously, we're living in very unprecedented times, and therefore, you know, decisions have to be made, and football finds itself where it is at the moment. Generally, the season being null and voided for clubs at step three. First, let's drill down with that decision firstly to call the season at a halt here and now. How did we get to that decision?
Well, the process was like this. At broadly 5 o'clock last Friday, the three feeder leagues, ourselves, the Isthmian and the Southern League, we were all asked for a league view by 9 a.m. on Monday morning as to whether we felt that we should either A, extend the season, B, decide the season based on average points per game, or go for a null and void option. Now, given the fact that we had such a short deadline, that really probably made any form of direct club consultation impractical. There simply wasn't the time to do it. Now, under league rules and their standardised rules, a decision like that is vested in the board of directors, and that board of directors is made up entirely of club representatives. So the views represented around that table probably reflected views supporting each of those options. Now, the board of the Northern Premier League provided its view to the FA on Monday, and that was then pulled together with the views of the other leagues. Now, the ultimate solution that was deployed, that's a matter that it's a decision by the Football Association, and although it's not a perfect solution, because clearly this is a case of trying to find an answer that is least unsatisfactory to the most number of clubs, and that's how the decision was then reached, because you've got to have consistency across the step. Although obviously it's not yet clear what the National League intend to do, you can't have a situation whereby one division or one league at step three or even at step four does one thing and another does something differently. So there has to be consensus. So that was the decision-making process.
Now, with regards to that level of consensus, I'm imagining some decisions were a lot easier than others. I mean, we covered it off last week on the show, just the fact that, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment, especially in the pro game, that the season can carry on indefinitely. But in the non-league world, contracts end at the end of April, early May time. So that's not really possible, is it? So there is not really a chance of the season carrying on into August, September, and however long. It's just that wasn't practical at all, was it?
Well, I think that's an entirely fair thing to say. Now, there's a couple of sort of key points behind that. And it might sound a little bit geeky and detail-orientated, but the way that the standard FA contract runs, and it's applicable across football, it says that you have to pay your players up till the 2nd of May, which is normally when playoffs are completed, or when the season ends, whichever is the later. So had the decision been taken to extend the season, clubs would have been faced with incurring continual cost without any guarantee of income. Because as you rightly say, you actually don't know, none of us know, when this crisis is going to be passed. So armed with what you don't know, you then have to look at the fact that we as a league represent clubs of all shapes and sizes. I absolutely accept that the outcome of null and void is not to everybody's satisfaction, and I have total understanding and respect for the position of those clubs like South Shields, who are clearly and understandably very unhappy with it. But from a league perspective, we have to look after the interests of as many of our member clubs as possible. The feedback we were getting from clubs informally and through our board was that clubs needed certainty in and around bringing the cost element of the season to a conclusion as soon as possible. But it's not purely about cost, and I think it's really important that when I can't think of too many non-league football clubs, Ben, that don't rely on volunteers to make it all happen. And those volunteers, many of them, do fall into the higher age bracket, the most vulnerable. And we've got to remember that the conversation we're having now is against the context of people dying around the world.
Like you say, I mean, we are living in a crisis. We don't know how long this is going to last for, but there's an understanding that the pro game is going to continue. So when it comes to the practicalities of next season, if I can go that far ahead, whenever that starts, is there a question mark about how this is all going to play out with regards to, you know, when the Premier League finishes and when the Northern Premier League starts?
I think there's question marks about an awful lot of things in life, and football's just one of them. Let's just, you know, just focus on that just for one moment. The Premier League and even the EFL is a light years away from our level of the game. And let's not forget that they have substantial broadcasting contracts that they need to fulfil. I mean, in the case of the Premier League, it's practical for them, in real terms, if they need to complete their season by playing behind closed doors. It's not for me to say whether they should or whether they shouldn't, but they could be able to sustain that from a financial perspective. That couldn't happen at our level of the game. And then there's the other practical factors. So there's just over 2,000 players registered in the Northern Premier League. Just under 300 of them are contracted players. So you've got a vast quantity of non-contract players who clearly, as is the case with clubs at our level, most non-contract players, when they're not playing, they don't get paid. So that doesn't raise you in a cost perspective, but you've still got to re-register them when the season starts. We have a number of grounds that are council-owned. They're all locked up right now with no maintenance being done on them. So it's not simply a matter of when the government says, OK, you can go and play football, we're all out the following Saturday. I don't think anybody knows right now when the 2020-2021 season will start. We just don't know. We have to take the relevant action that supports sustainability of our clubs as much as we can, accepting fully that there is no one-size-fits-all solution here. That's got to be our primary objective.
Because obviously there's also, we've discussed planning there and planning ahead. You can't really plan ahead in these circumstances, can you? But, it's little questions like, when does pre-season start and things like that and player registrations and get into grips with the facilities again. So it's a proper minefield. What I propose we do, Mark, is I'll invite you back on the show when we're about to get the season back underway. I think that's the best way we part that whole issue there, that whole minefield. Let's talk about then the decision. It's a null and void, the whole season itself. Was there an argument to say points per game could be used in this instance, or are we basically the National League is the elephant in the room here because they're stuck between a rock and a hard place because they're in between our level of the game, which is what it is, and the pro game, which is what we've outlined. So was there an argument to say that points per game could have been used, but the National League isn't in a position to say anything at the moment with regards to where they find themselves?
Well, it's a matter for the National League as to what they do. The reality is actually that the board of the Northern Premier League's view on balance was that actually we felt that average points per game was a viable solution. Now, that's a slightly less relevant because when our view was fed in with the other leagues, it was clear that wasn't going to be supported. So you moved to a different position. But there's problems with each position. Let me just perhaps give you a flavour of those. So, As a football fan, you'd probably look at it and go, you'd go on an average points per game basis. You know, teams have invested heavily. It's what everyone's worked towards. You know, fans would want that. But the problem with it is this: only 75% of games have been played in the Northern Premier League. So 25% obviously left unplayed. Now, given that we would not have had playoffs, unless we had resumed at some point, we've kind of been through the reasons why we didn't feel that extending the season was viable. So what you then do is say, okay, well, if you have promotion and relegation, you're actually promoting the champion club, and are you therefore automatically promoting the second place club? Now, that's totally contrary to the National League system rules. So I would imagine that clubs in and around the playoffs, to Warrington, and Basford and other clubs of that nature would have felt justifiably very unhappy, and Nantwich Town very, very unhappy with that. Conversely, at the foot of the table, to relegate a club that with 25% of the games left to play, again, you could say is extremely unfair. The nature of football, most seasons, a club either at the bottom or at the top or both makes a late run. So you look at it from that perspective, and it does. For going with average points per game, does undermine the integrity of the competition. So that's kind of the case for average points per game. Null and void, as I say, is to many people. Many would see it that it makes the season irrelevant. It never happened. A waste of time. I've seen some say a waste of money. But given that the National League, we don't quite know where they are going to be. That then throws promotion and relegation into question. If you have steps 5 and 6, over which, of course, we have no influence at all, if they had null and voided and we had stayed with average points per game, how does that affect promotion and relegation? And then there's the added dimension that we were due to get the extra division next year, adding another 20 clubs. So clearly that has had to be put on hold for 12 months. And you look at all of these complications and all of these factors, and when you stand back from it, and inevitably every club, every fan is going to look at it in the context of their own club's circumstances. When you take a step back and look at it completely objectively, null and void is probably, as I said at the start, the least unsatisfactory solution for the highest number of clubs.
So just to be clear, I mean, when obviously, like you say, it has been a negotiation because we don't just live on an island, do we? We've got other step three leagues to contend with, and step five and step six and that kind of thing, as well as step two and one. So just to put on record, the Northern Premier League's first choice would have been a points per game, but you've got this added complication about how promotion would and relegation would work in that system. But just to clarify that.
It would have been our first choice, but as you rightly say, we are part of the alliance. So that is one view within the alliance, and that was not a consensual view. So armed with that, then to actually achieve a solution, that's why the collective decision has been to go null and void. The decision obviously made by the Football Association, but in consultation with the leagues.
And from a sporting position as well, with regards to the players, we obviously talked about the player registrations earlier. From a sporting perspective, I mean, when you null and void a season, the player records are wiped within the league itself, but not necessarily the clubs. But is there any way around that? Because, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, appearance records and goal scoring records and that. It does seem like that could be a halfway house to at least covering that side of things off. Or is that not possible with a null and void situation?
It would be an FA decision, and I'm not fudging the answer there. It would be an FA decision because, once again, it has to be a consistent approach across all the leagues. I think that's something that we can very usefully discuss together with a whole number of other competition matters. I mean, just as a sideline, as you know, we're the only league that actually has a player awards event. And I've had at least one manager on to me to say, look, we understand, we might not necessarily agree, but we understand about the season being terminated early and obviously now declared null and void. But is there still a way of recognising players' achievements? So that is something we are looking at as a league to say, because, you know, you look at players like Tundi at FC United, he's had a fantastic season, and other players around the league as well. So you do want to try and find some way of recognising it, but we need to be making sure that we are not either A, breaking the rules, B, spending money we don't have, or C, following a route that would lead us into conflict with the association.
There was another proposal which I've heard some journalists say. I don't know if you're aware of this or whether this was mooted, but the idea that you can't relegate, as we've said here, you can't really relegate a team on points per game basis, but you could promote a team based on that. And that was probably where the Premier League were looking before they thought of extending the season, because I don't think anyone could turn down Liverpool's chances of winning the league. And likewise, I don't think you could turn down Leeds' promotion chances. So if it's good enough at that level, could it work at this level? Was that an option, maybe, that promotion only could have been, and then sorting out the mess of restructures the following year?
It was looked at, but there are additional complications. There's complications in and around ground grading and clubs coming up from step five, licensing and things of that nature. So it was looked at, but it wasn't felt to be a viable option.
Okay. Now, you said about, you know, the planning that needs to go into it. And, you know, you've obviously been a chairman of a successful football club over the years in non-league football. There is an element where you reach a stage of the season and you go, you know what, we're going to start to plan for next year now, and we're going to roll the dice, as it were. I mean, that has to be a consideration. I mean, I'm not naming specific clubs here, but I think everyone knows who I'm talking about. They would have picked players, got players ready for that promotion the following year. So has that been considered at all in these deliberations across the Alliance Leagues?
Absolutely. You do take all the factors into consideration. But again, Ben, it comes back to the same basic point. You have to apply a single solution. So the solution that you apply is never, ever going to suit absolutely everybody. And like I said at the start, I've got complete understanding for chairmen of clubs who are unhappy And they've got to do what they believe to be right for their football clubs in terms of how they take that further. We as a league are affiliated directly to the Football Association. And in exactly the same way as we can't defy the Football Association, we are all in it together with our fellow leagues. As I say, I might not be happy with the solution, but I am satisfied with it. But we have a national league system. We are the only country in Europe that has a national league system. We often undersell it. It's an absolute jewel in the crown. But because we sit between the county game, the grassroots game, and the professional game, we're the meat in the sandwich. But actually, it is an absolute jewel. It needs to be celebrated. And there's a heck of a lot that's been done. And one really, really important point. The debate around will continue to rage. It will continue to rage in and around. Should it have been extended? Should it have been terminated now on average points per game? Or the solution that's in place? That's only the first part of this. What has to happen now, and this is work that is ongoing, all the leagues, certainly at 3 and 4, undertook a survey amongst their clubs to actually quantify as much as we could the cost of this crisis to them in lost revenue. What we now are now doing with that through the Football Association is preparing our bid to get into government, get into whoever's going to listen, to try and get funding in for our football clubs outside of what government is already doing. So I'm not a naive person. I do not believe for 1 minute there's some bloke with his feet up at the Treasury waiting for a request for money. But there are other sports in there. We've got to be in there too, because unless we shout very loudly, we've got no right to be heard.
And this is where the alliance system comes into its own, because, you know, what one voice in a crowd is can be lost. But if you're all singing from the same hymn sheet, then it's a much bigger, powerful force, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, in the Northern Premier League alone, at the point at which we did the survey, which was analysed last Friday, the cost of the NPL clubs was probably around about £3.3 million. Now replicate that across steps 3 and 4. Add the National League on top, which will be many, many times more than that, and you've got a massive cost to local communities. And as I said, I am not naive. I don't necessarily hold out a massive amount of hope that we can actually persuade people to part with money, but I tell you what, we'll give it a very, very good go.
And finally then, Mark, obviously, you know, this has been a nightmare, not just in a football perspective, but as you rightly pointed out earlier, on a more wide society basis, it's been absolutely horrendous. So from a committee point of view and a league point of view, how challenging has this all been, really? Because, you know, it's been a difficult situation, because you've got the likes of South Shields, who are so far ahead, but then you've got Morpeth, who've got so many games left to play. How's the last month been, let's put it that way?
Dreadful. It's gone on longer than a month. As we said earlier on, this has been a season in which we've lost, or a lot of clubs have lost, an awful lot of games to the weather. That certainly increases the workload as far as our team of officers is concerned. You know, it's been a year of bedding down a new sponsor that's brought with it its own challenges. So that's put extra pressure on club volunteers. And then to have this on the end of it, yeah, it's a massive challenge. But, like it's an old saying in life, it's never what happens to you, it's always how you deal with it. I think our collective approach as a team, and by team I mean our board, our officers, is that our primary responsibility is to try and ensure that all 62 of our member clubs make it through this crisis. Now, if any, one, two, three, however many, fall by the wayside, then that would be an absolute tragedy for those communities and all the individuals involved. It might not necessarily be the COVID-19 thing that has caused it. It might be the catalyst that puts them over the edge. We just need to try and do all we can to ensure that all our clubs make it through. Because even if one club fails as a result of this, then that will be one club too many. So lots of work to be done. On the upside, I'm a volunteer in the league, as all the other directors are. Most, with the day job being very, very quiet, then it does free you up to spend a lot of time. I've probably spent this week, we're speaking at what, 1:45 on a Friday afternoon, I've probably spent four and a half working days doing nothing else other than work on this. But that's what I'm here to do. That's what I'm trying to do to the best of my ability, as the rest of our team are, because ultimately I do believe that we're all in it together.
Chairman of the Northern Premier League, Mark Harris there, speaking to me on Friday lunchtime. That's it for this week's NPL show. Remember, for all the latest news from the world of the Northern Premier League and that kind of thing, make sure that you give the Northern Premier League a follow on Twitter. That's at Northern Prem League. And also, as well, the league's available on Facebook and, of course, the official league website as well. But that's it for this week's NPL show. We'll be back next week. But I've been Ben, and make sure that you all take care and stay safe. We'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.